influences. Otherwise, the child would never learn to use its powers. He hesitated. At least, not necessarily as intended. Certainly, our side won't mind me thwarting you, said Aziraphale thoughtfully. They won't mind that at all. Right. It'd be a real feather in your wing, Crowley gave the angel an encouraging smile. What will happen to the child if it doesn't get a satanic upbringing, though? Said Aziraphale. Probably nothing, it'll never know. But genetics? Don't tell me from genetics. What have they got to do with it? Said Crowley. Look at Satan. Created as an angel, grows up to be the great adversary. Hey, if you're going to go on about genetics, you might as well say the kid will grow up to be an angel. After all, his father was really big in heaven in the old days. Saying he'll grow up to be a demon just because his dad became one is like saying a mouse with its tail cut off will give birth to tailless mice. No. Upbringing is everything. Take it from me. And without unopposed satanic influences, well, at worst, hell will have to start all over again, and the Earth gets at least another 11 years. That's got to be worth something, hasn't it? Now, Aziraphale was looking thoughtful again. You're saying the child isn't evil of itself, he said slowly. Potentially evil, potentially good too, I suppose. Just this huge, powerful potentiality waiting to be shaped, said Crowley. He shrugged. Anyway, why are we talking about this good and evil? They're just names for sides, we know that. I suppose it's got to be worth a try, said the angel. Crowley nodded encouragingly. Agreed, said the demon, holding out its hand. The angel shook it cautiously. It'll certainly be more interesting than saints, he said. And it'll be for the child's own good in the long run, said Crowley. We'll be godfathers, sort of. Overseeing his religious upbringing, you might say. Aziraphale beamed. You know, I'd never have thought of that, he said. Godfathers! Well, I'll be damned. It's not too bad, said Crowley, when you get used to it. She was known as Scarlet. At that time she was selling arms, although it was beginning to lose its savour. She never stuck at one job for very long, 300-400 years at the outside. You didn't want to get in a rut. Her hair was true auburn, neither ginger nor brown, but deep and burnished copper colour, and it fell to her waist in tresses that men would kill for, and indeed often had. Her eyes were a startling orange. She looked 25 and always had. She had a dusty, brick-red truck full of assorted weaponry and an almost unbelievable skill at getting it across any border in the world. She had been on her way to a small West African country where a minor civil war was in progress, to make a delivery which would, with any luck, turn it into a major civil war. Unfortunately, the truck had broken down far beyond even her ability to repair it. And she was very good with machinery these days. She was in the middle of a city at the time. Nominally a city. It was the size of an English county town, or, translated into American terms, a shopping mall. The city in question was the capital of Kombolaland, an African nation which had been at peace for the last 3,000 years. For about 30 years it was Sir Humphrey Clarkson land, but since the country had absolutely no mineral wealth and the strategic importance of a banana, it was accelerated towards self-government with almost unseemly haste. Kombolaland was poor, perhaps, and undoubtedly boring, but peaceful. Its various tribes, who got along with one another quite happily, had long since beaten their swords into ploughshares. A fight had broken out in the city square in 1952 between a drunken ox driver and an equally drunk ox thief. People were still talking about it. Scarlet yawned in the heat. She fanned her head with her broad-brimmed hat, left the useless truck in the dusty street, and wandered into a bar. She bought a can of beer, drained it, and then grinned at the barman. I got a truck needs repairing, she said. Anyone around I can talk to? The barman grinned, white and huge and expansively. He'd been impressed by the way she drank her beer. Only Nathan missed, but Nathan has gone back to Kaunda to see his father-in-law's farm. Scarlet bought another beer. So, this Nathan. Any idea when he'll be back? Perhaps next week. Perhaps 2 weeks' time, dear lady. Oh, that Nathan. He is a scamp, no? He leaned forward. You travelling alone, miss? He said. Yes. Could be dangerous. Some funny people on the roads these days. Bad men. Not local boys, he added quickly. Scarlet raised a perfect eyebrow.